There is a word from the Lord here on today, and it shall come forth from Genesis, the 21st chapter, starting at verse 5, Genesis 21 and 5. And as always, we'll be reading according to the New American Standard Version. And it reads as follows. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away, and she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Our theme and thesis, of course, is focused from verse 19. I'll read it again. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. If it be the Lord's will, we're going to speak from this theme and thesis entitled, Seeing is a Matter of Life and Death. Seeing is a matter of life and death. Praises be to God. If it had not been for the fact that God opened the eyes of Hagar, the maid of Sarah, had God not opened her eyes, she would not have seen the saving grace of water that was right there in front of her. Now, I want us to notice that it wasn't that Hagar was blind. It wasn't that Hagar could not see physically. But the physical water that was in the natural realm could only be recognized through spiritual sight. Somebody better walk with me today. Amen. Wow. the physical, natural water could only be recognized through spiritual eyes, through spiritual sight. Just like you and I are here looking right now, we can look and see whatever we want to see. We can see people, we can see chairs, we can see a whole lot of things right now in the natural. But so she had that same physical sight, but yet God said that he opened her eyes. He allowed her to see something that she did not see before, because God opened her eyes spiritually to recognize the blessings that was right in front of her. Somebody's going to make me pray today. Many times in life, there are blessings that God has placed all around people. But yet, because of a lack of spiritual sight, people aren't able to recognize the blessings. It can be a son or a daughter who can't recognize the blessing of having a father and a mother. I've seen some children who will rebel against father and mother and go out there and obey the gang member. Y'all better walk with me. Because they lack spiritual sight. Or are you walking with me? Or if we can take an analogy in the house. A little child can see the fire and on the stove and it's attractive to them, and they reach up to go and touch the fire, which will burn them and hurt them or injure them. But because they are lacking spiritual sight, spiritual understanding, they're not able to recognize that that is harmful. So it's being able to see spiritually that allows us to recognize blessings. Y'all better walk with me now and stay away from curses. Recognize the things that God has placed in our life to bless us and to prosper us, and to stay away from the things that are there to curse us and harm us. Recognize the thing that's going to help us to get ahead and to go forward in life, and keep us away from the things that's going to hold us back and hinder and hamper us from laying hold of the good things that God has given us. So yes, seeing is a matter of life and death. Because if the Lord had not opened her eyes to see the water, right. Amen. Yeah, she saw that not only was there, listen to me, there was not just another skin of water, there was a whole whale. Amen, somebody. That means that she could have loaded up and drank as much as she wanted. She could have, if she wanted to, establish a whole nation right there from that spot, because there was a well there to sustain life. And there she was about to die in the desert, and the son about to die with her. Now, I want to take a moment to give a little deeper insight on this particular passage. Now, some of us know the story of Abraham and Sarah. All of this could have been avoided and would have never taken place if Abraham and Sarah had trusted and honored and obeyed God to the fullest in the first place. God had told Abraham that he was going to give him a son, told him and Sarah, But because there was a delay in the blessing, somebody better walk with me. Because there was a delay in the blessing of the son, Sarah took her handmaid, Hagar, and gave her to Abraham as a wife. That was a common practice back in the Old Testament, to where a handmaid could be given, someone who was a servant to the wife could be given as a what they call a concubine to the husband for the purpose of rearing children if the wife could not produce children. So Sarah, not wanting Abraham to be without a son, gave Hagar to him so that she could produce a child for her. And as the story goes, walk with me now, once Hagar had a son for Sarah's husband, wow, pride swole up in her. She was like, huh, I was able to do for your husband what you couldn't do. Oh, y'all better hear me today. That was her mindset. And so she was very prideful, and basically Sarah drove her out by being very harsh to her. And this wasn't her first journey in the desert. Somebody better walk with me. The first time she put herself out in the desert, starting in the 16th chapter of Genesis. Amen. She put herself out. In other words, she said, I'm not going to tolerate this harsh treatment from this woman. And so she ran out into the desert herself. And God found her there in the desert and told her to go back and submit herself to Sarah. So she went back and she submitted herself to Sarah. So the first time she put herself out in the desert, this time Sarah put out in the desert. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Can I tell you that when problems persist, it's good to be able to see? Seeing that she had a desert problem, finding herself in a desert place, a desolate place, isn't it good that God gave her spiritual sight so that she can make her way out of the desert? Good God Almighty. Now walk with me for just a moment, if you would. Let's look at verse 12 of this 21st chapter. When Sarah put her out, in verse starting at verse 9, because her son was mocking her son, Isaac, the scripture says, but God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. How many women wouldn't want God to tell her husband that? How many wives wouldn't want to hear God tell her husband that whatever she say, listen to her? Let me put a pin where I'm going for just a minute and have a little fun with this. Men of God, the word of God tells us that we ought to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. And the truth be told, that means we ought to not only have a high school diploma in the woman that God has given us a wife, but we ought to have a PhD. In other words, we ought to know her needs, her wants, her desires, her inclinations. We ought to know her rising up and her lying down. God says that a man ought to be intimately familiar with every aspect of his wife, because guess what? The more familiar he is with her, the less she'll have to ask for. The less she'll have to speak, because the man of God is attentive to the details of his wife. God tells this man here to listen to his wife in this situation. Okay? Now, let's pull the pin. He says, for though Isaac your descendants, or rather for through Isaac your descendants shall be named, and of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. Now watch this. God tells us why he opened Hagar's eyes. Amen. 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 And it's right here in verse 13. And it's also again stated in verse 18. He says, and the son of the maid, I will make a nation also because he is your descendant. You know what I want to stop long enough to say to y'all today? When God tells you something, bank it. Amen. Did you hear me? Amen. When God gives you a word, whether it's his written word or whether it's a rhema word that God has spoken to you, amen, born out of his promises, whenever God tells you something, take it to the bank. Amen. If he tells you you're a millionaire, amen, write it down in your checkbook. Amen. If he tells you you're a billionaire, amen, write it down in your checkbook. Record it as a deposit. Amen. Lord God. I said take it to the bank. Amen. Amen. Because whatever God has promised will be performed. Amen. Verse 18, when God spoke to Hagar, he said, when he told her, he says, arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. God simply told Hagar what he had already promised Abraham. So what we're learning here is that obtaining spiritual sight is something that is birthed and born out of the promises of God. Amen. Somebody walk with me. Amen. Huh? Amen. I said obtaining spiritual sight is something that is birthed and born out of the promises of God. Amen. God would have never opened Hagar's eyes and allowed her to see the well of water. Not a jug. Amen. I said a whole well. Amen. Because he had made a promise to Abraham that son, even though it wasn't by Sarah, huh? Amen. But even the son by his concubine, which Sarah had given him so that a child could be born, even that son, God told him he would make a nation of him. He would make a nation. So born out of the promises of God, if you want to know how to obtain spiritual sight, read the word of God. Somebody better hear me today. Study the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Apply the word of God to your life. Walk according to the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If you want to have spiritual sight, learn the promises of God. Rest in and upon the promises of God that you may be able to see things that other people cannot see. I've seen families ravaged. All kinds of attacks and generational curses and destruction in their life. But God, and I've seen God give one person in that family who was trusting him, who was honoring him, who was obeying him, who was seeking him, who was serving him. Where God gave them a word because of their faith in him. And I've seen that whole family turned around. So when other folk were seeing devastation and destruction and a ravaged situation, the one who believed God saw health and saw healing and saw wholeness and saw deliverance and saw victory. Because of a word from the Lord. I've seen folk in living in ghetto situations, impoverished. Yeah. And somebody telling them, well, you ain't going to do any better than your parents did or your grandparents. You're going to be poor and you're going to be. But when God gives a word, when a person has a promise from God, but let's dig a little deeper. Why did God make Abraham this promise in the first place? Because Abraham had a covenant relationship with God. Amen, somebody. Amen. According to Genesis 15 and Genesis 17, God told Abraham that he was going to make him the father of a multitude of nations. And that those who blessed him would be blessed and those who cursed him would be cursed. God had already made a covenant with Abraham. Amen. God Almighty. So not only does sight come through the promises of God, amen, but sight comes through a covenant relationship with God. Amen. Amen. And I'm not once again talking about physical sight, but spiritual sight, to see the things that are in plain sight born out of the spirit realm. Amen. That a person looking with natural eyes cannot recognize. Amen. Good God Almighty. Amen. You know, I could have named this, I could have given the theme and thesis of being able to recognize your blessings. I could have given it that sermon title. I could have given it that theme and that thesis, being able to recognize your blessings. But I wanted it to go deeper than that. I wanted us to be able to understand this thing, that seeing is indeed a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. A person who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is fundamentally what we call a dead man walking. Amen, somebody. Because life is in Christ and in Christ alone. And when we come to a saving knowledge of Christ and honor him as Lord and Savior and Master of our lives, God gives us an ability to see things that we normally wouldn't see. How many people's lives, somebody might want to tell, I don't want you to physically say it right now, but I know some of us can testify. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. That all kinds of snares and traps that the enemy had for us before we came to a saving knowledge of Christ, we was falling in one ditch after another. Hallelujah. One hole after. Amen. Amen. Falling for one trick after another. Thank you, Lord. Bankrupt. Huh? Amen. Spiritually, as it relates to the blessings of God, because we could not see. Amen. But obtaining the word of God, amen, hiding the word of God in our heart, amen, allows us, as David prayed the prayer in Psalm 119, he said, Lord, hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When the word of God is in the light in the heart of the believer, it allows us to see things that otherwise we normally wouldn't see. And then two folks say, no, I'm not going to fall for that. See, a player come along to the sister and running a little game. She say, no, I ain't falling for that. See, before she might not have been able to recognize game. But when God gives her spiritual sight, when God gives a person spiritual sight, they can recognize, huh, the things that's in plain sight. I've seen times when folk will tell somebody, parents will tell the child, say, you know what, that guy ain't no good, leave him alone. Or that woman ain't no good, leave her alone. Now, it wasn't theirs to make them choose, but When folk have pointed it out, because they could see something spiritually that the other person couldn't. Amen. See. Amen. Huh? Amen. Amen. Yeah, sight is a matter, amen, of life and death. And let me say this. Some people have married the wrong person. Y'all better walk with me. See, when a woman marries somebody who's a player instead of a patriarch, oh, y'all better pray. Y'all, I don't think y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, he's out there in the streets, huh, rather than being in the home. He's out there running the streets rather than running the home. Because he's still operating as a player instead of a patriarch. I tell folk any day of the week, I want, from the very beginning of my life, I wanted to be a patriarch and not a player. Because I saw my daddy and my mama and their marriage, and I saw the way my mother honored my father, as a king in our home. And I said, when I grow up, I want to be a king too. Amen. So as a boy, I looked forward to being a patriarch. Amen. And not a player. Some boys hadn't had that privilege, you see. But that was something that I was able to see spiritually based on what I saw my parents live out and walk out. Okay? Let's shift for just a moment. Let's go to Genesis, the sixth chapter. Let's go to Genesis, the sixth chapter. In Genesis, matter of fact, let's go to the third chapter. I say six. Let's go to Genesis 3. We want to give us another, a little deeper insight on spiritual sight. Amen. In Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 1, it reads as follows. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Okay? The scripture says in verse 6 here, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Huh? Look at verse 7. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened." Wow. We see two eye-opening experiences. Both of them to look into the spiritual realm. Somebody better walk with me today. I said both of them to see into the spiritual realm. We saw where Hagar had a word from God, and based on the word from God, she was able to see blessings in the natural. But look at the mistake that Eve made, and Adam along with her. They took the word of Satan, and they too had their eyes open. But what they were able to see was the curse, and not the blessing. Good God Almighty. Because all of a sudden, when she took the word of Satan over the word of God, God told her that the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Satan came back and told her, no, you shall not die. Matter of fact, you're going to be like God. Whichever word a person is operating on in their life will determine what they see in their life. And ultimately what they get in life. If a person is operating in obedience to God, they will see the blessing and be able to lay hold of the blessing. If a person's got somebody else in their ear. See, I've seen folk, some of them, call folk their friend, family member. God then told them one thing and the people around them is saying something else. If they make the mistake of listening to the voice, I don't care whether it's friend, family member, homie, doesn't matter what it is. Amen. If it is different from what God has spoken in his written word or his rhema word, you better make sure that you recognize that as a word from Satan. Because whatever word a person receives will determine what their eyes open to. Wow. Eyes can be open to a blessing and a dream, or eyes can be open to a cursing and a nightmare. Because there's only two words in the earth, the word of God and the word of Satan. I just threw that in for free. I said there's only two words in the earth, and it has been so from the beginning. Adam and Eve experienced both words. They had heard the word of God. They also heard the word of Satan, which will always oppose the word of God. Both of them will provide an eye-opening experience. One of them will take away innocence and lead a person into destruction. That's the word of Satan. The other one will reveal, will provide revelation, knowledge and understanding and wisdom and counsel and reverence toward God and be able to lay hold of the blessings of God. They will allow a person to see the blessings of God. One of them will cause a person to value what, depending upon which word a person takes as into their heart and mind and soul. One of them will cause a person, the word of God will cause a person to value God and to value his word. A word from God's enemy, Satan, will cause a person not to value God and his word. Eve threw God and his word under the bus. Y'all better hear me today. I said Eve threw God and his word under the bus. The same tree that God told her was death, she said was good for food, a delight to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise, because she accepted the word of Satan over the word of God. And her eyes was open to a curse and a nightmare rather than a blessing and a dream. I recall a young man. I've seen times where young men are faced with a fork in the road. Somebody better pray with me. One fork is toward being a godly man and having integrity and desire to be a husband and a father. That's one fork in the road. Another fork in the road is okay. Person gets exposed to things that God only reserved for marriage, and if they're not careful, they end up heading down a trail of destruction, not only for their life, but countless other lives, dependent upon which word they get. I want to encourage us today before I transition here, as adults, as fathers, as mothers, uncles and aunts, as family and friends, to encourage one another in righteousness. I want to encourage us to encourage one another in righteousness, and especially our young people. Point them toward God. Give them the word of God. Show them the blessings of God. By living, not just with our mouth, by living it with our lives. So that their eyes can be open and see God and his blessings. And not open to a life of curse and destruction. Hurt and pain and suffering and agony. Rather than the blissfulness of blessing and a life full of joy and peace and happiness. Yeah. Encourage our young people. Sons and daughters. Yeah. Nephews, nieces. And whatever. Fellow saints in the body of Christ. Encourage one another in righteousness. Because seeing is indeed a matter of life and death. Yeah, seeing is a matter of life and death. I want to go just quickly here, and we're going to be through here today. Go to Deuteronomy with me. The book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We're going to go here, and we're going to be done for today. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. I'm going to read in our hearing verse 1, verse 15, and then I'm going to jump to verse 29 so that we can, for the sake of expediency. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, verse 15, then I'm going to jump to verse 29. Once again, I'm reading according to the New American Standard Version. It reads as follows. Let me give the backdrop. God has told Moses what to tell his children, the children of Israel, his people. Okay? He says, now it shall be if you will be diligent, or if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. I'm going to read verse 2 as well. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. So he tells them the blessings of God. And he goes through all the way through verse 14. And he tells them all of the blessings of God that go with obedience. And then in verse 15, he says this to them. Moses tells this to the children of Israel. And by the way, while I'm at it, God will always use somebody. Huh? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. God can speak to us individually. Amen. But he can also speak to us collectively. And God will always have somebody Amen. That he will use to deliver a word to his people. Amen. Just as I'm the choice today to deliver this word. To God's people. Amen. Verse 15 says, but it shall come about if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Okay? So God says that blessings, what determines blessings versus curses, is whether folks hear his voice and obey him, or either they reject his voice and disobey him. Hearing his voice and obeying him is blessings. Not hearing his voice and disobeying him is curses. Look at one of the curses. Matter of fact, just so you know, the blessings that God named went from verses 1 through 14. The curses that God named went from verses 15 all the way to verse 68. Did you hear me? I said from 15 to 68. The blessings was verse 1 through 14. The curses was from 15 all the way to verse 68. Let me just give you verse 29. The Lord told Moses to tell them this. And this is what Moses told him. He says, in other words, if they don't obey God, after verse 15, he says, you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. And you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. Wow. God said that they would be as blind men. Huh? Groping in darkness. If you didn't catch that, that's a double whammy. See, it's one thing to be in darkness. See, a person, if you ever had the light off in the room and kind of went along the wall, to grope means to feel one's way. Trying to find the light switch. can I stop long enough to tell you? If you want to see in this life, huh? Spiritually, Jesus is the light switch. Amen. Jesus is the light switch. When a person acknowledges him as Lord and Savior, receives him as their Lord and Savior in their life, and their life then is covered with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, at that point the light comes on. Jesus is the light switch. Amen. 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 When a person honors God as Lord and Savior and Master. Okay? Amen. But God told them here in the Old Testament, he said to them, he says, if you do not listen to my word, starting in verse 15, he said, then these curses will come upon you. He says, you shall grope at noon. Listen to this. He said a person will grope at noon as a blind man does, huh? At nighttime. Walk with me now. In darkness. If it's dark, even a person with physical sight has to do some groping. God says, when a person does not know him in the pardoning of their sins, when they do not honor God as God in their lives, that not only are they in darkness, but they're blind on top of that. That's double darkness. Not only are they blind, but they're blind in darkness. God told them that a failure to honor him would cause them to grope, to be like a blind man in darkness at noon. I don't know if you hear me now. Amen. You can't get any more, it can't be any more day. The sun can't get any higher than at noon. See, at high noon, that's why it's called high noon. The sun is at its peak. But God is saying that when a person does not know him in the pardon of their sins, when a person is not committed to honoring God and his word, he says that the only thing that's available to them is the curse of having to feel around in darkness, even though it's daylight. I want to encourage us today as the saints of God, as the people of God. Allow the word of God to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So that groping at noonday is not our portion. But that we get to see what other people cannot see. Because we're looking with spiritual sight, accompanying our natural sight. See, the two are meant to work together. There have been some people who have been blind physically who could see better than some folk who had their physical sight. These folk keep on running into curses in life when the blind man keeps on running into blessing because he could see spiritually. Amen. Wow. Amen. But the idea is to combine the two. to thank God for the physical sight, but to combine with it spiritual sight by allowing the word of God to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we may see the things that God has purposed for us to see. That only can be seen through his promises. Amen. Born out of a covenant relationship with him. Amen. And if I had some time, I'd tell you, that Jesus Christ, according to the word of God, is a better covenant than the Old Testament covenant. Amen. 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 According to the scriptures. He's a better covenant and a better hope. Amen. According to the Hebrew writer. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we now enter a covenant relationship with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Filled with the promises of God that allows us to be able to combine with our physical sight, the spiritual sight, that we may walk clearly.
Amen. Amen.
Good God Almighty. Used to be a song that said, I can see clearly now.
Amen.
Because the rain is coming.
Amen.
Let us be able to see clearly.
Amen.
Huh? Because seeing is indeed a matter of life and death. Not only as it relates to quantity, but as it relates to quality. There are some people physically alive breathing, but their lives are bitter. Their lives are filled with pain and agony and suffering. God wants you to have his joy. He promised it to us in John, the 15th chapter. He says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, he said, ask whatever you wish. And he said, not only shall you have joy, he said, but my joy shall be in you. God purposes for life to be sweet, not bitter. For it to be easy and not hard. That's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes, see, what folks don't realize, when they're making decisions that based on the word of Satan rather than the word of God. Huh? Makes life hard. All kind of problems and sorrows and mistakes and missteps. As opposed to hearing the word of God, honoring the word of God, honoring God as God. And allowing the Lord to order your steps in his word. My prayer for every one of us today is that God will honor, will order our steps in and through his word. And that the blessings of God will flow in our lives because we'll be able to see and to lay hold of everything that God has purposed for us. And the pitfalls and all of the setbacks and setups that Satan has through his word, we'll be able to recognize them too and go another way. Because we can see through the word of God. To lay hold of the blessings of God. And may every blessing that God has for us, may we obtain it. May we lay hold of it, and may it be victory in our lives. In the name of Jesus the Christ, receive the word of God today. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.